And we've got open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, special hello to two adorable girls out in Hawaii having a great time, Kristen and Taylor. Should be safe and have a great time. And I have heard that they have been jumping from bungees or something like that. Be careful with all those things. By the way, here's the special hotline number for life-changing moments, 818-817-0021. And in a moment, we'll go right back to Ryan, who's in Pensacola, Florida, and then callers in Richmond, Indiana, Denton, Texas, Spokane, Washington, and all around this planet. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go back east of the Rockies now, Pensacola, Florida. How's the weather out your way, Sean, by the way, Ryan?
Raining today, and now it's nice and cool.
All right, good. Now, let's start with your story.
It happened while I was serving over in Iraq. My squad of Marines, we were out at a little outpost about 5 miles from the actual base. It was just us out there. And anyway, my Marines would come to me and say, "Hey, I heard footsteps last night or someone trying to rattle my door." But we never saw anything, you know. A little back history on the area. This is a place where we would launch assaults into Fallujah. And, Yeah, unfortunately, a good number of people lost their lives at this actual outpost over the years. Anyway, I never really thought too much about what they were telling me until one night I was out and about walking around, and I saw it looked like about a green orb, maybe about a foot in diameter, just floating there. And I thought, well, maybe this is just some sort of weird atmospheric thing. I don't know.
Sure. Some anomaly, you would think.
Exactly. You know, I was skeptical at the time. Well, I brought it up with some of the guys, and they said, yeah, we've been seeing those too. We don't know what they are. So over the next week, I would get up, you know, real late at night and walk around, and I would see these things all over the area where people had died at, you know, from battle wounds. And it just seemed really odd to me that they would be there. And along with these, they would hear footsteps. I would too. Sometimes see something out of the corner of your eye, and you would look and it would be gone. I was just wondering if you had any idea what these green orbs mean, what exactly they may be.
Well, Ryan, I'm wondering if they might have been the spirit of these people who died in these tragedies.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking the same thing. I've never heard of anything like that.
How many people? Let's say if 10 people had died at any given moment, would you see 10 different orbs?
Well, nobody was killed while I was there. These were all deaths that had occurred before. We had even been there.
So they're whatever they are, they're hanging around still.
Yeah.
Hundreds? Thousands?
No, not even close. You'd see maybe 3 or 4 a night somewhere, sometimes upwards of 7, 8, or 9. And they would just float there, maybe about 4 feet off the ground, and kind of bob a little bit, and then just disappear, just sort of dissipate.
Well, you know, there is a phenomenon called plasma, which occurs, but I'm not sure that's what's going on there. That's very strange. Let's go to Daisy in Spokane, Washington. You're up with us. Hey, Daisy.
Hi, George. It's very exciting to talk to you.
Well, great.
Yeah, I have an interesting story. During the summer, I would go out on my deck every night and just watch the sky for an hour or so and see a lot of interesting stuff. And I was just about to go in one night, and I was laying there, and right in front of me, very low, flew past me what looked like a Thunderbird. And it was so low, and it was about the size of 3 cars, and it was kind of translucent, copper-colored, and it was just bizarre, just unbelievable. I just couldn't believe that I was looking at it. After just spending the whole summer gazing at the stars and out of nowhere to just have this fly right past me, and it was really fast. It just went whoosh right past me. And my first reaction was, that didn't happen. That couldn't possibly happen. And I told my family members, and I don't really think they believe me. So I thought, well, I'll just call Coast to Coast, and everyone will believe me if I
don't. Believe you. Of course,
yeah.
Now, did it look more like a huge bird daisy with feathers, or more of one of those pterodactyls, those dinosaurs?
You know, it kind of leaned towards being no feathers, but really shimmery, kind of almost translucent. It was really strange, really hard to explain, but it was huge, and it just went by just so fast. I can't even explain it. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I totally, 100% saw it. And I don't know. I just wonder if anyone else has seen anything like that, just kind of translucent copper.
Did you ever see a baby bird?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if an egg breaks and without the feathers, it's got that look where you can see almost the inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did it look like that?
No. You know what? It was just almost like a projection off of a screen. That's the way what made me think of. When I saw it, it was like a movie, looking at a movie, the way it floated by.
Was it flapping its wings?
No, it was just soaring, and it was translucent. And so that's kind of, the best way to say it is like it was a projection of a movie, although, that's impossible. There wasn't a projection behind me.
You never know. It could have been a hologram. They're experimenting with these things now.
Well, yeah, and I have one other quick, really kind of weird thing that happens to me. Every time I drive past a graveyard in my neighborhood, there's always a car right on my bumper just trying to push me and trying to get me to go faster and faster and just really irritating me. You look in your rearview mirror and you're just thinking, would this person just get off of my tail?
Oh, yeah. I hate those tailgaters,
you're driving along. And I keep looking back thinking, oh, would you guys stop this? And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
They're gone?
They're gone. I look out of my rearview mirror, no car. It happens to me every time I drive past this graveyard. It's weird. I keep thinking, did they turn in? Where did they go? It's just a really weird thing. So
That's strange. All right, thanks, Daisy. Next up, let's go to Jay in Denton, Texas. On the life-changing moments line. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, Dan.
Good.
Well, I was. Have you ever heard of Andrew Womack?
Yes.
I was on a Friday. Actually, I was driving, just driving to work and all that kind of stuff. And he had a program on. I used to listen to him every day, and he talked about how one of his sons had been in a motorcycle accident, and how he was driving, and he's in Colorado, and how his other son called and said, "Dad, my son is, what's his name is hurt, and they say he's dead." And Andrew Womack said, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to I'm on my way. Don't believe what they say, and I'll be there in a minute."
He was saying that on the air.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and just for some who don't know who he is, he has a ministry on the radio.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
So I listen to Andrew every day for several years, and I was like, okay, that sounds really interesting. But he said that he drove all the way like 100 miles, and he told his son not to allow any of the doctors to get in his son. And when he got there, though, he said that I'm Andrew Womack, and I'm here to see my son. They go, "Well, I'm sorry, your son has left." And he said, "What do you mean my son has left?" "Well, he left." Of course, he's talking about the same son who was pronounced dead, correct? And you understand what I'm saying, right? Anyway, so then he said that he called his other son, and he goes, "Yeah, Dad, I was there." And he, and according to Andrew, he prayed to God that his son would be okay, and his other son said that his, that the son that was supposedly was dead stood up in bed and was okay.
And was just fine again.
Yeah, exactly.
And walked out of the hospital.
Exactly. That's and so weird. The next day, my wife and I went out on a to eat, and she had an anaphylactic attack.
Oh, my.
And I called the ambulance, and the ambulance came, and I was following the ambulance, and then I started thinking, you know what? I remember that.
That moment.
That moment that I heard on the radio, my life-changing event was at that time I was a pastor. But I know you at that time the life-changing event was like you can't. Just go, you know what, God, I know you're going to save this person. I knew she was dead as I was driving behind her or behind the ambulance. Something told me she was dead.
Oh, was she still breathing when they put her in there?
Yeah, she was. And,
okay.
And the ambulance waited for forever. It seemed like for days.
I know. They always seem slow when you need them the most.
Yeah, and then when we were going to the hospital, it was like they were doing traffic work, so it's even worse, you know.
Yeah, everything that could go wrong was going
everything
wrong.
Everything could go wrong.
And so you're following the ambulance, and you're saying to yourself, "I know she's dead." Then what happened?
Yeah, so we went to the hospital, and. And they got her in this room, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and they brought all these different machines in back and forth, and I was sitting in the waiting room by myself, and this nurse came to me and said, "Hey, are you here by yourself?" I go, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, maybe you need to call somebody." I said, I'll wait. And she goes, "Well, maybe you need to call somebody." And I said, "Well, I'll wait till somebody, you know, I need to wait because I don't want to, like, alarm anybody right now."
Right. You need to find out what exactly is happening here before
right.
you
she
call.
Said, "No, you really need to call somebody." And I looked at her and I said, "What are you trying to tell me?"
Yeah.
And she said, "It's bad." I said, "Well, how bad is it?" She said, "It's really bad." And so I said, "So what are you trying to tell me?" She said, "Your wife is dead."
Oh.
And so the two hardest things I've ever done in my life was when I called my father-in-law and told him. And then the second hardest thing, or the first hardest thing was when my 9-year-old son next day.
Sure.
And I went and told him, and you know, but I guess the life-changing experience, I guess that's what we're talking about, is that at the time I was a pastor. And it really changed the way I believed. And I mean, I still believe in God. I still believe in Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. But I followed people like Mr. Womack and believed that he was, you know, all you had to do is say it. But
that doesn't happen that way, Jay, does it?
It doesn't happen that way. I mean, it's I. And you know, over the that's been 7 years ago, and I made a lot of mistakes since then.
We all have. We all have.
Yeah. But I know that I have a great son, and if you're listening to the audience tonight, if I can tell them anything, despite what happened to me, don't quit believing, because I'm okay, and just my family's okay, and bad things happen to good people. And it doesn't mean that just because something happens that's not what you want to happen, that you had to quit living.
Jay, thank you for the story, and we're sorry for your loss. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, we're human beings. We all go through tragedies in our lives, ups and downs. But you got to keep at it. You got to keep living. You got to pick yourself up. You know, just paraphrasing, what's that, the Shawshank Redemption line? Keep on living or get on dying or something like that. Let's go to Richmond, Indiana. Hello, Brenda. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm like everyone else, riding out the storm, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When's it going to quit raining? It's raining, raining, raining here.
Well, it just stopped in St. Louis after like 37 straight hours.
Right. I heard you say that last night, but last night it was 30 hours.
Yeah, I know. We got 7 more hours of it. And then it finally stopped.
Oh, on that movie, Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
I believe it's Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying.
Yeah. Well, I was close.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean.
Right. Either way, it means the same thing.
Exactly.
But in comforting him, and I probably cannot, sometimes it's better for people to go when they're called the first time, because sometimes if people live longer, they suffer more.
Sometimes.
Yes, sometimes. Well, that's another story. I felt selfish when I wanted my grandmother back, but she really did suffer. And I was mad at her for a long time. But to get on to try to tell you what has been happening to me, ever since I was very, very small, it seems like it's been happening to me from my very existence.
What?
All these paranormal activities. And I am so glad a few years ago that I stumbled onto your show, because I felt so isolated and alone, and I had no one to talk to. My mother, she always knew it was happening, and so did my grandmother. And like I previously said, my grandmother passed away, and my mother now is in a nursing home in Florida. And except for the people that know me very, very well, and some of them, I have some witnesses, I don't know who to talk to, because I feel like, well, they're just going to put me in the state hospital. Especially since there's one right here, right down the road. I mean, it's no problem.
Oh, you don't want them to cart you away, Brent. Look, you've got a big family here that probably will understand what you are going through more than anybody on this program.
Well, it's like almost, and you will not believe this, or maybe you might, or maybe someone else is experiencing it. Ever since I was small, are you going into a commercial?
Yes.
Do you have
something else you want to tell me when we come back?
I haven't finished. Can I be put on hold?
Yeah, of course you can. I'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And don't hang up. You'll lose your place in line here. Time for our traditional Friday night shout out to all of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America. Streamlink members, hello to you. You're able to now go back and get 3 years of past programs. XM Satellite Channel 165. And then the various chat rooms and groups all around the country. Hello to the NighthawkZone.com folks. Hope you have a great weekend. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, the SmySpace groups, the Yahoo chat rooms, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, AboveTopSecret.com, and our group connected to Twitter, which you can get the link off CoastToCoastAM.com. All of you, thanks for making Coast to Coast the number one rated program in the world. Okay, now as promised, we're going back to Richmond, Virginia. Brenda is there waiting for us. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hi. Hi. excuse me, I have a little sore throat. George?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That was Richmond, Indiana.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Virginia. Okay. It's just like the song that you just played. My son was singing that while we listened to you last night. I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He just started singing that song.
That's cool.
No, that's spooky. I mean, little things like that, they spook me. I mean, that's very small, but it spooks me. When I hang up, I'm going to call him. In the beginning, I'm going to try to do this. I was, like, very small, 2-3 years old, when I just seen things happening. Like my little brother might be falling, and I would stop it before he'd done it. Well, I thought this was all normal. And then it got more intense. And then I started having dreams. And then I started telling my mother, and then they started coming true. And I'm trying to just give you some larger versions, but it happens like every day, every moment. It just feels like a big cluster in my mind because I cannot sort it out and why it's happening and why sometimes I cannot stop it.
You're connected. That's why you are on what I've always called, Brenda, the wireless internet, before I even knew what an internet was. People are connected to things, to the universe. You're in it. How did you get in there? We were always there. You're just a little more aware than most people. I mean, run with it. Take advantage of it and definitely stay in it.
Well, now it's getting very, very serious. A lot of tidbits in between. Things will move. I'm doing drawings. I've always drawn all my life. And mostly women. Matter of fact, I got kicked out in the second grade for drawing a woman with no shirt on. That girl. No, really, I did. I really got the paddle over that one. And I have no idea.
And you were just trying to be an artist, right?
And then a few years ago, I had this picture. Do you know what is his name? He did one of the portraits in the White House. Now see, it escapes me.
I can find
Bernard.
Okay, so but
so anyway, he drew
represent?
One of these pictures exactly like I did when I was in second grade. But I want to get to the serious part. So now I'm drawing portraits on the walls like crazy, and these women are missing, or they turn up being found, passed away, or whatever. And matter of fact, one of them moved into an apartment after I moved out, and her portrait was on the wall. And it was all over television. It really spooked me. And it's happened several times after that. I've gotten to where I'm really afraid to draw, but it just makes me. I mean, I just got to. And it's really crazy how it happens. It's a scribble.
Let me ask you some questions here, Brenda. Are these women that are disappearing, is it all over the country or just in Indiana?
All over the country.
When you draw a picture, how soon do you realize that they have disappeared? I guess it becomes a news story, right? And you go, oh my God, that's the picture I just drew.
Right, I don't hardly ever watch TV. I'm a radio bat. And I'll just be like walking in a friend's house. And this is how I usually find out. But I did one time run into one woman who was right down the block from me because my phone went out. And I don't talk. I'm a recluse. I don't talk to my neighbors very often. Maybe one across the street or something. But my phone went out. And it was emergency. I had to go find a phone. I went out. And there is that girl. She is sitting right there. And that's a whole... I will tell you that story. And then... things moving. I have witnesses about things moving and coming straight to me.
What do you mean things moving? Like keys or anything like that?
there was one. Was this man run for his life? There was a beer can sitting on the table. We were having like a get together, and a car pulled up, and my friend was in a car with one of her friends. Well, I went out to the driveway to talk to her. And I'm thinking, boy, I wish I would have brought my beer over here. And there was a table out there. And the car was sitting toward the table. The table was on the patio. The beer slid off the beer can, and it was full. It was not the wind. It slid all the way across the table, hovered for like 2 seconds, went straight down, and the patio was not smooth. It is that old river rock, like from 100 years ago. It's very rough. It went all the way to the edge, halfway off the edge, and stopped. The man, I seen it. The man in the car seen it. And he said, did you see that? And I said, yes. I said, I've seen things like that before. And he said, my friend, which has passed away now, he said, Rhonda, get in the car. We are leaving. Then there was one about a lighter.
Well, hold on now. I don't want to hear every story here, but I want to ask you some more questions about these drawings. When do these women disappear after you draw the pictures? How soon do you find out about it?
I have really never concentrated on it because, like I say, I'm too scared, and I will want to share this issue with you right now because I know you got other people in line. 2007, February, I'm sitting in my kitchen. This is what really is really got me scared. This one's to my, I mean, the kind of scared that you never ever realize you have with your whole total bone, flesh, and blood until it happens to you. 2007, February, I'm sitting there. I have a friend of mine, but he's in the other room, I don't know, doing laundry or something. I'm in the kitchen, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my sink cabinets. You know, they're all a sink cabinet kitchen and the double sink, and I see something, and I'm staring at it, and it comes to form. And it, all of a sudden, it becomes a black. It goes from, like, a dark red and gets darker and darker, until it turns into a black cloak, and then there's the sickle. It starts up, and it just kind of becomes solid, and it starts walking toward me, and I'm, like, staring at it. It comes, like, probably, I was probably 7 foot from the sink. It comes probably 5.5 foot to me and faces me, and it's very small because it's the Grim Reaper.
But you are having, Brenda, a lot of paranormal experiences. I mean, a lot. And as you said, since you were a little girl. But the drawing is what interests me. You need to start sharing this with some police departments, as crazy as it might seem. Let me take a few more callers here. Let's go to Payson, Arizona. Hey, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
Good, Bill. Not bad.
Hey, I just want to rattle your brain here for a second. About a week ago, you had a man on your show that he said, pick a number from 1 to 10, George. And you said, oh, let me think. And then he said, well, I'll tell you after the break. And then my wife and I were laying in bed before we listened to your show all the night before we go to sleep. And my wife said, 8. And I said, or she said, what number did you pick? And I said, number 8. And she said, I did the same one. And then when you came back, you said, well, I was kind of slipping a little bit. I thought between a 2 and an 8. Do you know how that developed? Can I tell you what I think?
I picked the 8, and the 8 is the number that Joshua Warren had picked out.
Yeah, but you know how this all started? I'll suggest this anyway to you. 5.5 years, either you or, now, your guy that picked up the phone first, said he mentioned the name of the lady. It was called the Numbers Lady.
Oh, yeah, Glynis McCants.
Yeah, she was on the show, and she said, if you want to have money, put a letter 8 in your wallet and place a 2 on your bedroom door for protection.
Right.
And so that's where you came up with the 2 and 8, and either you were on that show and you didn't, or Art was doing it at the time. But that's how I think they came to the 2 and 8, because that was the only two numbers that we thought. But to remember that 5 years later, and I said, God, I got to call him some night and just ask him if he remembered that show.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was the show I was on.
But that's because we were thinking 1 through 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Then we both snapped, you know, saying number 8, we said, you know, and that was it. But, oh, and then last questions, George. We do love your show. We stay up as late as we can, and we enjoy your show now on XM Radio where you play your previous night 4-hour show.
Yeah, I hear they do that now. Sure.
Yeah, are they doing it on all the private stations too?
No, some of these stations will run the previous night's show, but by and large, the 525 we're on will pick up the live show.
Yeah, well, we
but,
love
but a handful of them do the refeed.
Oh, because it's been so good for us, you know, because we get up early in the morning, and so usually by 8 o'clock we're in bed. But now with you starting that new show, you know, early in the evening, so we can listen to the previous night's show. At least we've got that, you know. Then we listen to the next night, previous night's show. And then some nights on a Friday we'll stay up till after midnight. And the last question I had to ask you, George, was how does Ross Mitchell do what he does by being your MC and being on KOH Reno, or is he off of KOH now?
No, he's still out there. We have what are called broadcast lines, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that's what I have when I'm not in Los Angeles, for example, we have these high-speed broadcast lines here in St. Louis. When Art's in the Philippines or now in Nevada, we have the same thing. We have these high-speed broadcast lines. Ross has them too.
Oh.
So when he does his announcing for us and the voice work and things like that, he'll feed it right over the broadcast line between our engineers and when he's ready to do it.
Oh, so he can do it during the day then?
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, because I know he's up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, no, he sounds like he's live on the show, but he's not. He's on as we would say, tape, but it's digital now.
Well, I just want to put in one little point, too. We miss Art Bell because, you know, living in Sparks and Reno area for 34 years and then moving down here to Payson, we had to buy an XM radio because we couldn't hardly get Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's just too doggone far away. Kept waving in and out, and we're up in the mountains above Phoenix. But, no, the XM radio has been the best radio. Now we're able to pick up all our old people we listen to, and mainly you. It's been worth it. That hundred and some dollars a year just to have your station available to us. So I hope
that's good.
And
Art will do about at least six shows for me next year too, as well.
You know, we heard him a couple weeks ago, and it didn't sound like him. It sounded like his voice has changed a little bit. But what he's been through over there, I know mine would be completely changed.
Yeah, he was going through those typhoons at the time. And,
yeah, exactly.
And everything else.
But no, we miss him, and he's been, it's like, you know, he's been a family. It feels like a family member because you have him on every night, you know, and then he knew right where we lived up there in Sparks, you know, and everything.
Well, Bill, I got to tell you, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
That's right. And how long had Art been on the air, please?
Oh, gosh, years. I mean, he started on radio way before he got syndicated.
I was trying to think back how many years we listened to him, but we used to listen to him when I was working the graveyard shift. The security guard and myself would have a radio down there, and then one night I said, "Who are you listening to?" He said, "Art Bell." It's been Art Bell all the time. It's the only clear channel you could hear him on, you know.
I first heard him in 1996, and a couple of years later, I ended up working with him. It's just a small world, huh?
God.
Okay, Bill. You take care.
Hey, you take care. Pleasure talking with you. And that was just some questions I wanted to ask you about Russ Mitchell and the numbers lady. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you someday again.
Okay, Bill, you take care. Let's go to Brian Phoenix. He's got a life-altering and changing event. Hey, Brian, thanks for holding.
Hi, good evening, Professor Nori.
Hello there.
Hi, I have a life-altering experience that happened to me about 4 or 5 months ago. It was in late May. I had always had a pretty rough childhood, and it was really not worth getting into, but it's just been a pretty rough one. And about a year and a half ago, it even got to the point where I had a breakdown, attempted suicide, and checked myself in. And they ran all the tests and put me on all these psych meds and did all these things. But at any rate, about 5 months ago, I had a real bad accident on my motorcycle. I fractured my skull and my jawbone, crushed my nose, broke my scapula, and just got pretty badly hurt. But I do remember coming to in the hospital 2 days later, and my first record, I don't remember the accident. I don't remember what happened. But my first memory was that, I don't know if it was an angel or, but it seemed like a telepathic type of communication. either with my soul group or something, that had kind of posed the question to me. He's like, you know, do you want to go? Do you want to stay? You know, do you want to, you know, keep on living? Because basically you're going to have to learn these lessons one lifetime or another. And so I just remember, you know, kind of sending out an affirmative type of energy. I really didn't physically say yes or anything like that. But that's the only thing I can really remember from the accident, is waking up and, you know, and remembering this experience. But I got to say, since then, well, and it was shortly after that, I discovered your show.
Good.
And since then, I have not been on any meds. I have feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I'm in more pain than I've ever been in my life, but my spirits are the highest ever. I just feel like a whole new life, a whole new, you know, a whole new run at it. I feel like a kid again. I'm over 40, but I don't know what to say about it. I just feel like I had to call in and share that with you.
Good for you. You know, in beyond the pain, at least you're moving ahead, huh?
That's right. And I see nothing but good things forward from here. I just, you know, in some ways I think, you know, about the wasted time and things like that, but even that doesn't really get me down or anything. It's just amazing just to really have a validation and a confirmation that there is something there after we pass. You know, there is a much deeper reason for being here.
Absolutely. And you know what, Brian, think of it as a life-changing event, but also as a lessons learned. We can't go back anymore. You know, time has passed. We don't have the ability to jump in a time machine and go back and correct the mistakes we all made. You got to move forward. You got to learn from your mistakes or learn from what happened in the past and just make your life the best you can as you go forward.
Best advice for anybody. And I just, it's amazing how I feel now and so much happier. And even though, you know, going through these things, the doctors told me how lucky I was that I even lived through this accident. And being, you know, being told or offered, you know, to whether I wanted to keep on living or not was just an amazing thing for me.
One of my favorite quotes, Brian, of this, and it's got some meaning behind it. And it was, of all things said of tongue and pen, the saddest of which, what might have been. And, you know, how many of us in our lives have always said, oh, if I had only done this or that? You can't, and you didn't. So move on and make it better. And that's
absolutely
the important thing. Brian, you take care. Keep fighting the good fight. More open lines continue in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.